Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Before we get started, a few announcements. The first thing that Strickland has at Instagram, check that out. That is at this channel on Instagram. We post a lot of new cuts, all kinds of new content on there. Strickland also has a YouTube channel where you may be watching this podcast. If you are and you've not done so already, please hit like, subscribe to the channel, leave us a comment. That'd be a huge help to us. Strickland also has merchandise, which you can find on our website at www.thestrick.land. There's a link that'll take you to the merchandise store. There's all kinds of cool stuff on there, like t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, coffee mugs, water bottles, you name it. We've got it. We even have a Nova York merchandise line, which you might be more interested in than you were previously. Strickland also has a Patreon, which you can subscribe to. There are no different tiers. There's a $6 tier that gets you access to Pod Strickland, this podcast that I host every Friday with Prez. You also get access to Takes My Office Bozos, a new podcast that is hosted by Andrew Steele, a.k.a. Doug, along with Zach Blatter. And now you get access to also the Strickland Discord with Conversation Never Stops. There, for the tiers, there's a $9 tier that gets you access to Strick and Roll, my solo pod, right? Ranger name, but the Nixie Memorial. You also get access to wonderful premium articles by Matthew Miranda, who has been on a tear lately and is one of the best in the business. And you get access to Strictly NFL, our podcast, which you guessed it is about the NFL, that is hosted by Constantine Metricos. There are further tiers. There's a $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and $100 tier. This comes with a variety of additional benefits, like listening on a pod recording, merchandise discounts, and even potentially co-hosting a podcast alongside yours truly one day, whether you choose to subscribe or not. And this would be possible without you. And none of this would be possible without BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today and get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus and your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. All right. So, as you can tell by the title, things did not go the Knicks' way. Isaiah Hartenstein signing with Oklahoma City, or at least agreeing to terms with Oklahoma City. 3 years, $87 million for Hartenstein. Look, you can say whatever you want. It's hard to turn down that type of money. From all the reporting, it seems the Knicks offered him the full bag. It's what it is. Stefan Bondi to this. Hartenstein's deal is front-loaded in the final year, will not be guaranteed. That was always kind of going to be OKC's play. I'm a little bit surprised, but I guess ultimately, I'm a little bit surprised that he took that, because this is somebody to, I think, and you know, I hinted at that security is very important for him in terms of like location, all that type of shit. But again, $87 million, a lot of money. If he's getting whatever, 65 of that guaranteed up front, he can make back. The Knicks max offer was 4 years, $72.4 million. He's going to make up that money and then some by the time he's done. Either Oklahoma City will pick up the final year of his deal, or he'll enter free agency again. It's what it is. So that's obviously point one, point two. I did not think Oklahoma City was going to sign him. I thought they were pretty committed to five out. And you know what? I think probably my biggest kind of fuck up there was that it's not really a true five out, but we saw it with the Knicks this year, right? They could play and use five out sets with Hartenstein, even though he himself isn't a shooter. So I think that probably gave them more comfort. It's a little odd. I do think it's weird that you played Chet the entire year at the five, basically all of his minutes, and then now he's going to be playing ostensibly, I would imagine, way more four than he has previously. They might not be worried about that, and that might be a fair thing to not worry about. But I do think that's interesting. But for the Knicks, look, I think this is a massive blow. I can't sugarcoat that. I can't deny it. I've been pretty upfront about that all the way along, even after the Mikal Bridges deal. And I think that Mitchell Robinson is a really good player, really solid starting center. He obviously played great in the Philadelphia series this year in the playoffs. He was great last year against Cleveland in the first round also, but he was tremendous against Joel Embiid in this year's first round playoff series in a way that Hartenstein wasn't, quite frankly. Hartenstein struggled in both the Philly series and the Pacers series, and I think that's fair to kind of, if you want to hold on to some copium, there you go. But I do think it's a huge loss for the Knicks, because as good as Mitchell Robinson is, and you know, I'm up and down on Precious. I think he has some value. There are things he does that are really cool. And then there are moments where you're like in stretches where you're kind of at a loss for words for what's going through his brain. And that's what it is. But Hartenstein opened up the Knicks offense in a way that Mitchell Robinson doesn't. Precious Achiuwa does not. We'll see what they do on the center market. You know, Goga Batadze is a player who has been connected to the Knicks by Begley and others. So maybe that's an option for us. But yeah, it's just, it is what it is. So the Knicks have to figure out a way to do this. It's just, yeah, I just think that you can't look. I'll put it this way. I think the Mikal Bridges deal, I get why the Knicks did it. I understand it. I think this was probably something they viewed as, given the restrictions in the current collective bargaining agreement, that we're all seeing have ramifications. They felt they probably had to make their big move or big splash or whatever right now. And I'm not going to hold it against Mikal Bridges that Isaiah Hartenstein left, but I'm definitely lower on that move now that you don't have Hartenstein, because I think, again, that Hartenstein opened up the floor to really maximize that group potentially in a way that we just don't have right now. Now, is it possible that Tom Thibodeau is going to embrace using OG and Randall together and, you know, in the starting lineup and all that type of stuff? Yeah, maybe. And that would be fantastic. But I do not think that it is. I think there's a different element that Hartenstein gives that we just don't know for sure we're going to get now, given what the roster looks like at this moment. This can all change. And I think that people should be a little bit more, I think they should be a little bit more patient with this front office, because I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt. So it's just, it is what it is. Like they don't have anything set in stone here. Mitchell Robinson's still under contract for 2 years, but he's been a serious health concern in the last few years. And that obviously has to be weighing on their mind. And we already know that they were looking into, or at least had talked to teams about what his potential market was. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to move him now. If anything, you would think that it secures the fact that he would stay here. But we don't know what was offered for him. We don't know necessarily what other players they have interest in, or if there are centers they think they can get. And maybe using Mitch in a trade in some capacity opens that up for them. But yeah, I mean, look, I don't think it's not hyperbolic to say today is not a great day for the Knicks. And it definitely hurts. So they have to figure out a way. This front office has proven that they, again, I think they deserve the benefit of the doubt. And I think given that, I'm not going to say I'm excited to see what they do, but I'm definitely curious. And I'm curious because this is kind of a position they necessarily have. They haven't really been in this position. They have retained players that they've wanted to retain. This is the first time they're losing a key free agent. And I will say a couple of pieces to that. I've seen people talking about how this is like because of the collective bargaining agreement. he was an early bird free agent. So even under previous collective bargaining agreements going back over 10 years, the Knicks wouldn't have been able to retain him because they would have been capped where they were in terms of what they could offer him. So this really, you know, this has nothing to do with the new CBA in this instance. And obviously the reporting is that they had put a full offer on the table for Hartenstein, which we know would have taken them a second apron. So presumably they had a move lined up to give them second apron space. Now, maybe they still do that, loop that into the Mikal Bridges deal, so they have second apron space and that'll open up some possibilities for them. But I have no idea what we don't know. We do not know what they're going to do. So I think that's fair to say that, you know, options are still probably being floated around or discussed, whatever, on their part. I've also seen people talk about, like, they weren't happy about our maneuvering at the draft, and this makes it more questionable. I don't really understand that. Like, they, unless you think a center, like, I'm going to be quite honest. I know Derek Lively had an amazing rookie season. Rookie centers coming in and playing at that level is the exception to the rule. You were not going to get a center in this draft that was going to come in and replace everything Isaiah Hartenstein gave you. It just wasn't going to happen. And I don't really, especially in this draft where we know the consensus already that the prospects weren't great, I don't think maneuvering the way they did in the draft necessarily is bad because of what happened. They still needed to be compliant with the first apron regardless of what happened. And obviously after the Mikal Bridges trade, they had to move some things around and use salary so that they could give themselves options. They also obviously wanted to make it clear to Hartenstein, hey, we have this offer on the table for you. This is not going anywhere. And if that is the case, we need to be prepared. And so they prepared themselves for that possibility. But one thing I feel confident about saying in this front office is that they prepare for all possibilities. I doubt that what they did in the draft was solely done for the express purpose of making sure they had space for Isaiah Hartenstein. I'm sure there were plenty of other reasons for that. And ultimately, you know, I don't think the Tyler Kolek and Pacome Dadier, the two top players they did take at both Pacome Dadier at 25 and Kolek at 34, these were guys that I think were right in that, you know, end of first, early second range. It's, we know Kolek was high. They were high on Kolek all year. So they might have had him as a higher grade and just worked the board to get him where they could, kind of like what they did with Deuce. And maybe they took Dottie 8-25 because they knew teams below them were going to, were, they couldn't pass him there. Otherwise, he'd go off the board for all we know. They ended up with another couple rookies at the end, McCullough and Ariel Hukporti. We'll see what those guys do. That was the 56th and 58th picks, respectively. But the maneuvering of the draft, I think, shouldn't, I don't think it should be viewed solely in the light of, like, you know, look, we can all disagree on prospects, but they ultimately ended up taking two guys they seem high on, probably, and then another couple that they're taking flyers on, who I guess maybe they like for whatever reasons. Hukporti is a little bit interesting because Sam Vecenie has this, and I talked about it with Prez, but the things that he's good at are things that the Knicks generally like from their centers. I'm not saying, look, I want to be very clear. This is not me saying he's going to come in and be Isaiah Hartenstein. I don't expect that. But I do think it's interesting just because I don't know any of us want to see Jericho Sims as the third center anymore, ever again. So, yeah. EJ1 with a really awesome comment. Dude, shut up, man. Like, if that's your takeaway, then just stop being a Knicks fan. All right. Let's get to some other actual comments here that are worth responding to. Jonas Ben Khalifa, if we adjust the Bridges trade so we aren't hard capped at the first apron, how much of the MLE would we have available? I have to look at the numbers. I can pull up Jeremy's thing. I still don't think they can use the full MLE. They can't because they'd be hard capped. If you use the full MLE, you're hard capped at the first apron. So they would have to use the taxpayer mid-level in all likelihood. So I don't know that that changes too much. It might give them more flexibility in trades, but I can't answer to you the various complexities of this current CBA, which are making everybody's brains break. Flavor phrase: in short term sucks, but long term, we needed we need to reduce center investment to save dollars for Brunson and Randall extensions. Trust Tibbs, Perrin, Brock to figure out a low-cost, productive center rotation. I do trust them to do that, but there's two things to this. One, I don't really agree with the center investment thing, because if you needed to, like, this, to me, bring back Hartenstein effectively set your rotation for the next 2 or 3 years. You didn't have to really worry about anything, and all it would have cost, yes, Brunson and Randall are due extensions. If you did extend them, all it would have cost them at that point is Dolan's money. And yes, you'd have been less flexible in trade, but look at the makeup of the team. You're not looking at a team that is necessarily going to probably want to be making a lot of trades. And even if you do, you can always send money out and take less in. You know, that's always a possibility. So I don't agree with that portion of it, but I do agree that Tibbs, Perrin, and Brock deserve time to figure it out. And they deserve some, benefit of the doubt, trust, however you want to put it, faith. So that's definitely there. The other part is, like, and I think this is fair. This has been why I've kind of held off on saying too much about the Bridges trade. I really think that, like when you make a trade like that, you're in a contention window. You are trying to win. You're not trying to stay afloat and be good in the, like, you're trying to be in the title conversation. And to me, I'm not going to say it's closed right now, but you took a big hit with Hartenstein leaving, given where your center rotation is. Weirdly, I think, like, if Mitch is healthy, I actually think we still match up great against Philly. I wouldn't be too worried about them, even though I do think they do have a title window, even though they're a little bit more fraught with peril given their level of injury risk and some of their depth issues, which still are likely to occur. But Boston, to me, if they're healthy, which is look, that's a big if for them too. We've seen Porzingis is going to be out for probably half a year, and we've seen with him that he can get hurt, as he was for most of this year's playoffs as well. But, like, I just don't think Mitchell Robinson and Precious, assuming, again, they bring Precious back and or whatever they do here, I don't feel great about going into a series against them being like, this is what we do. Now, over the course of the year, if Tibbs leans into Randall at the five and we play a lot more small and et cetera, et cetera, maybe I'd feel differently. But I do think that right now Boston is I don't know that's a mountain we can climb if both teams are at relatively full strength. So yeah, that's what that is. Schwinn, do you think there's any way they could both?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Bring back Precious and sign Goga. I don't know the cat. I think if you use the taxpayer MLE that restricts you at the second, that hard caps you at the second apron, theoretically, I guess they could do that. I don't know if they would, and maybe that's a good option. I don't know how they would get Goga. I don't know. We don't know if the taxpayer mid level is enough for Goga either. That's the other part of this, because the reporting from Ian is that he had an offer on the table, or he thinks he has an offer on the table from Orlando that the Knicks can't match. I don't know what that means. I don't know. Maybe that is that true? Is that not true? I have no clue. That's just the reporting right now. Yeah. Moving on to some other stuff. Ace Bouchard, and only there's no way to replace iHeart one for one if you left, regardless of anything the Knicks did. Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. There's really nothing else you could do. Vake Dadania, worth noting that if we had the ability to give iHeart this exact contract, we'd be vilified for overpaying him. I don't know, man. Maybe they would be, but at that point, I wouldn't give a shit, because you'd be pretty much set to go and your team would be in place. Also, I don't think we could have because we did it over the second apron. So who knows? Actually, we probably still could have, right? Because he would have been our free agent or something. I don't know. The second apron blows my brain. So no, it's still been hard cap. So we had to like dump Mitch and do other things. Whatever. I get your point. I just don't think it would have mattered because presumably you'd be like, well, we're a championship team. So who cares? Any centers on bad teams in your radar that you'd like to see us make a move for? Honestly, the only center I've seen us like I'm not that I can think of that might be available this offseason that I'd have interest in, who I think would at least give us again 48 minutes of we know that if we're healthy, if both of you guys are healthy, we have 48 minutes of elite rim protection and gives you some offensive threat that Mitch doesn't, would be Jared Allen. But how are you getting Jared Allen? Like you're trading Randall for him? Like, I don't know. That doesn't seem viable. Cleveland has their own issues to sort through in terms of their cap. And you know, Donovan Mitchell still hasn't signed his extension. So those are all things to consider. Like, these are not easy options or choices for the Knicks. But, yeah, Jared Allen would be one. But he's obviously not on a bad team. He's on a good team, which makes trading for him harder than it does for other teams. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I couldn't tell you. Like, if maybe you could say, you know, it'd be funny, actually. Dayron Sharpe from the Nets, who I think is, like, an okay player. I don't think he's anything great. He's an okay player, but I don't know how that would happen. And I don't know why the Nets would deal with us again. But maybe they would, because now we're making deals left and right with them. So who knows? He'd be one. I'm going to be honest. I would hate this option, and I don't particularly like him as a player, but if you're just trying to take a swing on a center who can open up your offense in some ways, like Ayton would be one, but I just think he's an unserious player, so I wouldn't really pursue that. And you know, I don't think the Knicks would either. That'd be my guess. Ace Bouchard, I think they're still completely fine starting center with Mitch, just the injury risk and also the drop off to the bench five. Yes, I agree. Like that's really the concern. I do think that there's an issue with Mitch regular season wise. If you told me right now Mitch is healthy for the regular season, I'm not that worried about it. I'm not that worried about it now, but I'm saying I wouldn't be worried about the regular season hopes at all if you told me Mitch was healthy for the full fucking, you know, however long. When you start getting into injury, like when you start getting into the playoffs, though, that's where I worry about it, because I do think the fact that he is not versatile or well-rounded offensively is a liability. I mean, we saw that in the second round series against Miami in 2023, where they were able to just limit him on the glass, and because of the lack of spacing at that time around him, you know, it was just very, very hard for the Knicks to do anything offensively. Now, maybe this is different now because theoretically the floor should be well spaced at all times given the personnel the Knicks have, but I don't know that that's how it always works out functionally. And I also think we've seen a lot of evidence that Randall and Mitch don't play great together. And you know, again, it fucking sucks that Randall got hurt when he did, but like for the month when he was healthy after the OG trade, and Hartenstein was the starting center, like, I mean, I thought he was playing the best ball of his career. And, you know, the floor is space and all this stuff, it's like you've kind of saw the vision. And, you know, look, maybe they'll find a reasonable facsimile of Hartenstein and we can all move on together. But for now, it is what it is. So, yeah. We will see what the Knicks do. Yeah. Stefan Bondi says this. Heard from multiple people how tough a decision it was for Hartenstein to leave the Knicks. He really wanted to stay. Loved his time with the Knicks. Difference in average salary is almost double, though. Plus, cost of living is cheaper in Oklahoma City. It's a lot of money. So here we go. Here's Jeremy Cohen tweeting this. Knicks options for backup five are as follows. Sign a free agent with the taxpayer, mid-level exception, hard cap at the second apron. Use a previous traded player exception in a trade, hard cap at first apron. Precious Chua, veteran minimum signing. So yeah, there you go. Trying to work through all this. Sorry. Balancing them and Twitter and trying to figure out what's exactly going on is, is always tough. All right. Moving back to this. Trying to get some more comments here. Yes, Begley said Goga's getting a bigger offer from Orlando. I would say I would wonder if this is like an option for the Knicks, or not an option, but a pitch for them. Is like, hey, come play with us. Look at what we've done for other centers, like Isaiah Hartenstein, getting them paid, and see what we can do for you. Because we, like, Tom Thibodeau had, I mean, like, he has done wonders with many centers in his career. And I'm not saying Isaiah Hartenstein is good because of Tom Thibodeau. I want to be very clear. I'm just saying he has a way of getting a lot out of these guys. Mitchell Robinson has definitely progressed under Tom Thibodeau. I think Isaiah Hartenstein's progressed under Tom Thibodeau. He fucking got the last bits of whatever was good out of Nerlens Noel and Taj Gibson, and was able to somehow carve out an effective defense. Like, basically the only center we've had with him that has just been bad is Sims, who I think is just bad and is not a good player. And is, quite frankly, seems a little bit slow in terms of his mental reading of the game. So that was, that's what I think. Retro. I mean, Iheart was also pretty bad in place. I agree. I think this is like a valid thing to bring up. I do think some of it is copium. And it's also worth mentioning he was good in the 2023 playoffs. So I don't think it's like a hard and fast rule that he's going to be bad in the playoffs. And I also, I thought some of it this year was an accumulated wear and tear. And I know they managed his minutes well, but, you know, his load offensively increased so much for those 2 or 3 months or however fucking long it was when Randall and OG were out and Mitch, right? His load carrying what he had to do defensively and then also offensively, just being so involved with all the dribble handoffs and the two-man game with Brunson and blah, blah, blah. Like, that stuff is, you know, it adds up. And so I do think there's that. He also had the Achilles thing for 2 years that the Knicks managed, you know, an Achilles soreness. And, you know, thank God it you know, never tore or anything like that. But that is something that we knew was a thing that he had to have managed for 2 years in a row. Even not playing, I mean, I think he played like, what, 28, 30 minutes? Not like he was averaging 35 minutes a game or something. So I get all those concerns. I just think that, like, when you're in the position the Knicks are in, you'd rather just pay up and not worry about addressing a hole versus being financially prudent or whatever. Dude, I don't know what losing. Do you think Andre Drummond was coming here? If what the fuck does that do for us? Losing Iheart for nothing and missing out on Drummond to your rivals kind of damning me. Why? Why? Is Andre Drummond was going to come start for the Knicks and we're going to win a fucking championship because of that? Andre Drummond is a fine backup center in the NBA. That's what he is. And if we had Andre Drummond as our backup center, I would still feel like we're not at the level to really beat a Boston Celtics team. I think we could still beat the Celtics. And I still think we could beat Philly, which is exactly where I am today. Andre Drummond is not... I don't think anybody should lose sleep over the fact that Knicks did not sign Andre Drummond at all, as far as I'm concerned. Ace, for sure, I personally still think they need to lean into Randall at the five. It's the reason you add OG and Mikal, especially against wing-heavy teams like the Celtics. Yeah. I do agree with that. There's really not an option for there. So, yes. One second. Sorry, I had to handle some business. John, also, I don't think we were much better even with getting Bridges. That's how big of a loss Iheart is. Yeah, I actually feel kind of similarly. I think they're still going to win a lot of regular season games. They're still going to be a really good regular season team. I think they could beat anybody in the East in a playoff series aside from the Celtics. But I thought they could do that this year. And I thought with Hartenstein, I thought they had a chance to beat the Celtics if they were healthy, if they had been healthy this year anyways. So I agree with you. I do think that, like, it's a big loss. The argument that I would guess you would get internally and that a lot of people would believe and acknowledge is that it's harder to find high-level wings than it is high-level center. I'm not sure I really agree with that, and I, you know, it is what it is. Hartenstein is a little bit curious to me because as much as I love him and I do think he's incredible, I mean, OKC has so much talent, so they might just be betting like, hey, Hartenstein gives us kind of the necessary fill the backup five quota minutes and we're good with that. Like, I'm not saying that he's a backup, but the between him and Chet, they have 48 minutes of good center play on the floor. It's probably the best way to put it. And because of that, I just figure that whatever. My point is, like, I still wonder if they played Denver in a series that I still think Jokic would destroy them. But also, look, Denver lost KCP. I don't think they're really a contender anymore, to be quite honest. And, you know, that's really the only center out in the West you're worried about, like, man, this guy could just kill us in a series, you know, in terms of, like, just throwing the ball in the post. We saw Embiid destroy Hartenstein this year. But you're not going to play Embiid if you're OKC until you go to the finals. And who the fuck? I don't think Philly's going to the finals. So it's kind of a... It's an interesting pivot from them, given kind of what they've been doing at the center position for the last like 5 years, which is why I just genuinely did not think they would go for Hartenstein. So I was obviously completely wrong on that. But yeah, like I agree. I think the Knicks are worse without Hartenstein, or they're definitely worse without Hartenstein than they are with him. And I do think that anybody that feels like more skeptical of the Mikal Bridges deal in lieu of having Hartenstein is fares more than justified to feel that way. I would just say not caution, but would say I think the front office deserves the benefit of the doubt to try and see what they do to get themselves out of the situation, more or less. So yeah.
Definitely did not think that Hartenstein was going to get $29 million a year. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah, it's you can't really do anything about that.
No, and I'm glad at least that it's a deal that, like, we can black and white, you know, process in the sense of, like, well, yeah, I mean, we just – there was no way. And obviously, like, even at 4 years and 72.5, but at least he took, like, a lot more money. I don't know. The options suck. The options suck. I would say – and you probably agree, like, Mitch is 100% back, starting five next season, barring anything crazy. And that's fine. I think that's worked before, but like you were talking about, like, Mitch is healthy for the regular season. Where's my thumb? There it is. Thumbs up. After that, I've got significant concerns.
Yep.
Sam, initial reactions?
I kind of felt like this was going to happen. I was the lowest percentage out of all of us on Hartenstein coming back yesterday. I thought that it was at least at 49%. But then after seeing the number, I was like, yeah, there was no way that he was going to come back to the Knicks for the money that we were offering. I mean, $30 million a year is very hard to decline, especially if you're going to a contending situation nonetheless. So it's just like, you know, your preference at that point. But yeah, I mean, the Knicks have to make a quick pivot. backup centers on the market are quickly going away. Jalen Smith got a contract today. Shout out to him. He's a pretty good spacer, pretty good shot blocker. So I think the Knicks' best option at this point is just to go get Goga, and hopefully they can blow him away with whatever they pitch to him. And yeah, I mean, I tweeted out today, I think there's some playmaking upside with Goga. You know, maybe the Knicks could tap into that like they did with Hartenstein. And there's obviously a defensive upside with Goga. I know he had an issue. I know he had some sort of issues, I guess, with like fouling in some games with Orlando before they went back to Wendell Carter Jr. But yeah, I mean, there's not many options out there. So the Knicks just have to make a quick pivot. And hopefully as the year goes on, they can just find what works for them.
Yep. Three centers off the top of my head who we could spin a trade for: Wendell Carter, Nick Richards, Okongwu. Wendell Carter, I don't know how this would even happen. We'd have to give up an actual rotation player to get him, just salary wise. So I don't know how that works. And honestly, I don't think he's that good. So there's that.
Yeah, I mean the Magic were significantly better with Gogo on the court than Wendell Carter Jr. this year.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe they still, I mean, I know Wendell had a weird year, but he's always, you know, we think Mitch is always hurt. Like, this guy's always fucking hurt too. So Nick Richards, like, sure, you want to just get a body in. I think his contract would fit under the taxpayer MLE, but I'm not saying he's my favorite. Okongwu, another guy you'd have to trade a actual player to get him at this point. So I don't know that that is really where it's at.
And I think the Hawks are pretty much nailed onto him as their starting center, especially if they're looking towards a fire sale, getting rid of guys like Clint Capella and all those other people. So don't know how gettable Okongwu would be.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
Kevon Looney. Throwing it out there.
Please, no. definitely not Kevon Looney.
That guy's rickety.
He's cooked.
Isaiah Jackson is Nixie. This is from Judah Bencher. I don't know why the Pacers would trade with us. Maybe they would. I don't know. I know that there was smoke at the draft that they liked him. I do buy that they liked him at that draft. I just don't know that the Pacers are going to move him just to move him. Like,
especially after they lost Jalen Smith.
Well, I'm not sure how much that matters. Because he's just not that good. But true. I think that, like, they look like they're setting up to consolidate, and he would be a piece that you can move in a consolidation trade potentially. So either move his salary or as a player that, you know, we're talking about him here as a player that we'd be interested in. So I'm sure that there are people around the league who would like Jalen Smith, Isaiah Jackson. So my guess is, you know, I don't know that would be on the board is more or less where I'm at. Like, I do think that the Knicks, I'm sure that they have something lined up, or at least some contingencies in place. But yeah, look, it's slim pickings out there.
Yeah, that's why they just got to make it a quick pivot.
I don't understand this comment, so I'm just not gonna. I'm gonna move on.
He says, "How do we feel about the Sixers bringing back Tobias Harris and calling him Paul George? He's calling Paul George Tobias Harris.
I think that's very wrong." ZMP323 says happy summer break to Sam.
Yep. Just going to enjoy these last couple days before I start summer camp. So thanks.
Yeah. My namesake here says screw you, OKC. Thanks, Ashwin. Yeah, look, it's very annoying that the one time they've decided now to go break the bank on a fucking free agent is on Isaiah Hartenstein. Like, extremely, extremely annoying that they would do this to me. But it is a smart move for them. Can't deny it.
I mean, they got killed on the glass in that Mavs series. Killed.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for them is managing his minutes, which they should be able to do. Like, they were a really good team last year, and I think they were good about managing various guys' minutes. So I'm sure that they will have a plan for Hartenstein. But I was not super impressed with him in – again, this is just this year's playoffs. I didn't – love his defensive rebounding and just general defense this year in the playoffs. I don't know what was going on with him. Maybe I did feel like he had some physical limitations or elements, whatever you want to call it, going on. But yeah, I also would say that I'm almost positive Mitch is staying this year, but I do wonder if I'd have to, like, the Knicks could probably open up a decent amount of flexibility, I would think, next summer if Brunson extends this summer, which we think he will do, but who knows? I thought Hartenstein would take the early bird rights deal. And like, you could open up space if you moved Randall and Mitch for next summer, or if you just let Randall expire and Mitch goes and you trade out Mitch. Like, I don't know. There's so much longer term stuff now that they have to consider in terms of trying to fill this hole. And then it's like, you know, if you use Randall to address this thing, then you have to replace that. There's a lot going on. So hopefully they have a lot more contingencies planned out than I do, because I do not have any contingencies planned out for the Knicks. That's just me.
But you also would think that they have to. I mean, these guys are paid to do this. And
they have done it.
And they've done it, yeah, more importantly. But, I mean, they literally – we can't overstate enough – or we can't overstate the fact that they walked into this summer with a ceiling on what they could offer him. So, I promise you they spent a significant amount of time thinking about this. It doesn't change the fact that the market develops as time goes on and while you're in that waiting pattern. But I'm sure that they have invested heavily in other options and are continuing to look at those. But I almost wonder if they're not going to wait now to see how things shake out, just given the market that's available. I think maybe they talked to Goga, and then after that, it's just kind of like, let's see what shakes. But, yeah, it's just – I'm sure they have a fucking whiteboard with names on it and all this shit. This sucks. And the jersey swap for the announcement was a little aggressive. I thought.
The Shams jersey swap?
Yeah, it was a little aggressive.
He had this shit ready to go. He was waiting for that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I had to make it yesterday.
Speaking of centers, Drew Eubanks just upped with the Jazz. He stinks, though, so that doesn't really affect us.
I don't understand how that guy keeps getting money.
Agent. He's working miracles, and I'm sure Woj will have a tweet about his agent very soon.
Who is his agent? That guy needs. That guy actually deserves a tweet.
Oh, Eubanks' agents, James Dunleavy and Max Lipset of XL Basketball, worked to finalize an agreement with Jazz GM Justin Zanuck to add Eubanks to a center rotation that includes Walker Kessler.
Walker Kessler, there's a guy that's also been mentioned. I think he's good.
What do the Knicks have to – like, they don't have anything to offer for him.
Yeah, and I think the problem is you're dealing with Danny Ainge at that point too, but
– yeah, he has a huge ego. He's not going to really give up
quality
players for pennies on the dollar.
I mean, I would – okay. Would you trade Deuce for Walker Kessler?
No.
I would.
You would?
I would. Yeah, because you can afford to, like, you have depth at that spot. Or at least you have somebody. You can probably sign a fucking – Kyle Lowry's fat ass is still sitting out there in free agency. You can sign him to a fucking veteran minimum, have him play backup point guard for a year, and you have Walker Kessler. Now you have 48 minutes rim protection, which we know Tom Thibodeau gets horny over. And voila. Like, I'm not saying that has solved the Knicks team, but that's – I would feel a lot stronger about that team than I would right now. Where I'm like, I don't I've got to trust Precious CTE, like 82 games a season. I'm sorry, like I just don't. But I think I don't even know if that trade. I can check if that trade works straight up.
Yes, Daniel Theis is washed retro in the comments. He's asking.
Didn't the Clippers got him and then just didn't play him? But also, Tyronn Lue is weird at center, so who the fuck knows? But yeah. I'm pretty sure he's washed.
Sure. Yes, he's washed. He's been washed. Since he left Boston, he's been washed.
I actually wonder if Ainge would do this Walker Kessler thing.
Oh, it works because financially?
Deuce is technically, he's technically under contract for longer. He's got 3 years left on his deal. Kessler has two.
Interesting.
And it works.
And Deuce is on a declining deal, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. We fixed the Knicks. You guys are welcome.
So look, if that was actually on the table, I would probably do that.
Tay212 asks, are we kind of overreacting? Mitch was DPOY candidate the first quarter of the season. With Mitch, there's a lot of things. There's the health of it all, and there's the offensive fit with the other players as well. I think with Hartenstein, we saw a different look offensively. He was a DPOY candidate for that first part of the season, but he's almost always hurt. So it's like a matter of that as well. So.
John Collins, hello?
Oh, no.
No. Mm-mm. Get the fuck
no
out of
way.
Here.
No way.
The Jazz also drafted Filipowski. They've got – do they still have Olynyk? No, Olynyk's in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have Markkanen, which apparently they're going to trade him, but I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know what they're going to get for him.
The millions of picks OKC has plus Lu Dort.
Yeah.
I think the Warriors will push it over the top for Markkanen if he gets traded.
I just don't get what they
I'll see it when I believe it with the Warriors.
Yeah, I just don't get what they have. What do they have that, like, Ainge is going to be like, man, love that.
Unless it's Kuminga, then I don't see it.
I'm not even sure he would want Kuminga.
Probably not.
I'm just throwing it out. I'm just saying.
Probably not. But yeah, we have some comments here talking about Judah Benchari says, I know we could have an option besides Mitch, but in terms of actual backup minutes, not playing Randall at the five would be unserious in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, who would be the backup five would be Precious and probably some combination of Randall at that point.
I think as it stands, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And I mean, that team is not getting as far as we initially hoped when we made the Mikal Bridges trade and got OG back.
Yeah.
Yeah, Prez in here.
What up, Prez? First time Prez has commented on a stream. let Ariel sing, Hakporti Hive. That would be very depressing if that's
if Hakporti could come in and give us Derek Lively type impact, then hey, I'm all for it. But I don't think that's happening.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not Derek. Like, people, I think, like, a lot of people are bringing up, like, the whole draft thing. And I'm just like, bruh, like, do y'all realize how unlikely it is for a player to come in and do what Derek Lively did? Like, it's so rare for big men that are rookies to come in and make that much of an impact on a playoff team, let alone a team that goes to the finals. Like, that's just not what happens in this league. And especially where the Knicks were drafting, too.
That's awesome. Gwen posted the Darko chart for McBride and Kessler in the fucking group chat.
In the Discord. In the Discord, yeah. Just saying, man. I don't think it's that crazy. Like, I don't know why they would want another guard, because they drafted, what, Collier, and they drafted... What's his name? Last year, Keontae George, and then they still have Clarkson and Sexton, who I don't know what they're still doing with those guys. I'm not sure that Ainge knows what he's still doing with those guys, but they're still...
Ainge probably has dementia at this point.
He still has his guys, so we'll see what he does. But I don't think it's not like a crazy thing in a vacuum. I'm sorry. I just don't think so. I think if you can get a starting center caliber player like Kessler, who's already shown a pretty high level in the NBA when he's been healthy... Yeah,
and there was an indication to think that he was being shopped in the first place. So we're not fishing here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why it was even out there that they were listening on him. Because I was like, what? Like, I don't know. Ainge, I don't know if Ainge actually has a plan right now. I think he's kind of like open.
Ainge has dementia.
I just think he's open to anything. He's like, I don't think he feels like anybody on his team is, okay, this guy I can build around this thing. And so I think he's kind of like, well, let me just see what's out there for player X and player Y and player Z. Like, and maybe I'll be shocked by what's out there. You never know. Jude Bencher, Schwinn, I hear the argument of Kessler had some offensive juice, but he's basically Mitch. That's not needle moving. Maybe. I don't know. I think, like, Mitch and Deuce for Jared Allen would be worth it. To me, then you're still worried about the backup five there. But yeah, I mean, you feel better about the starting five. I don't know. It feels really weird to give up Mitch plus for Allen after the playoffs a couple years ago. And I just feel like optically, genuinely saying that, yeah, it just feels a little rough. Just feels like I don't think the Knicks would do that.
We also have your namesake. He brought up that Lively was taken 11 and we're picking. And we were picking in the back of the 20s of a weak draft. A center drafted here wasn't getting into the Tibbs rotation.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Taj Gibson is a Nick until he isn't, by the way.
Just answering this, LOLY Allen is close to our hurt levels on offense and is very good, not amazing on D. It has nothing to do with that. I just don't think they would do like on the optics level. I don't think they would do it. Because I think we can pretend that shit doesn't matter. It absolutely does. And I think it'd be very weird to be like, we're going to trade Mitch to go get Jared Allen, who we fucking destroyed in the playoffs and embarrassed last year or 2 years ago to the point that he was talking about how the lights were too bright and got memed to death. Like, I just think that matters. I don't even disagree with the argument you're making here. I'm just telling you what I think. That I have a hard time believing the Knicks would be like, well, fuck it. We can do that. I don't know. It'd be tough for me. And I don't know. That's just me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they would do it. I don't think it's crazy.
So I didn't get any of my predictions right from yesterday so far. Except for the obvious Paul George one, which everyone knew was happening.
Yeah, Sam Presti can go to fucking hell, by the way.
In my opinion.
AC Bouchard brings up that Hartenstein is by far the biggest free agent signing in Thunder history. Before him, the largest contract Oklahoma City had ever given to another team's unrestricted free agent was Patrick Patterson. $16 million over 3 years. That's from Fred Katz.
Yeah.
Wow. Great.
This is our reality.
When I saw that notification, man, my stomach did a little turn. Did the same turn that it did when I saw the OG trade notification that came out of nowhere.
Well, I saw 3 years, and I thought the Knicks got him, to be honest.
Now, once I saw the 3 years, I knew it wasn't the Knicks, because the Knicks had to offer the full 4 years to at least have any semblance of keeping him. Which was willing to take a pay cut, like he was going to, like he was willing to take one for the Clippers,
but not that significant. I think.
Things change, though. Things change in the NBA.
Goga's still out there, still available.
Yeah, still hasn't signed yet. Could take that.
Also, get Jericho Sims off this team, by the way. I can't do it. I cannot. We cannot walk in with him as a backup. He cannot be playing 12 minutes a night. That would be the end of me.
Press says we sound like a family member just died.
Well,
I heard was a member of the Knicks family, man. He's gone. It's gonna be woofing in.
Some of us, these people are like family members, Prez. You know, I get it. Maybe, you know, for you, you're more invested in the draft, and we get that. You know, but for us, go ahead, Sean.
Do you think the Knicks are winning a championship as currently constructed?
No.
Like Mitchell Robinson is our starting five, and let's assume Precious comes back. And if you don't think that, then, like, I think it's fair to be fucking upset and down because you don't trade four fucking unprotected picks for Mikal Bridges to just be, like, really good.
The second best team.
They're not trading all that shit to just be really good. I'm sorry. I don't think they have a championship upside given the competition in the East, specifically Boston. I don't really care about any other team, specifically Boston. And presumably a team like, you know, OKC coming out of the West now. I mean, I don't think the Knicks would match up great with them if it was OKC that came out or whatever, pick a team. And yeah, so I'm sorry. Like, I don't think they have championship. I don't think their offense carries into the playoffs with Mitch as the starting five. That's my belief. I don't think they're a good offense with Mitch in the starting five in the playoffs against high level teams. That's it.
So you suggest Randall at the five in those situations?
I mean, if you told me Tibbs was going to work to that and like use that as a real option, I'd be a lot more optimistic. Then I'd be like, okay, maybe if that's like a real thing, then I feel differently. But I have a hard time believing Tibbs is going to do that until he does it.
Yeah. This may be the actual situation that forces him into it. Because I mean, Prez brings up he did OG at 5.
Bro, Prez, he did that shit. He did that for like 2 minutes, and he did it specifically because they had a wing at the 5. That's it. It's the only time he did it the entire playoffs. By the way, never went to it again. Like that's the only time he did it. This guy, like he does his things. I'm not even. This is not like an insult. This is what he likes his things, and he does not deviate from those things. And
unless he's like forced to.
Yeah, like even like the Precious thing is very instructive. He didn't do it versus Embiid. Embiid wasn't on the floor, dude. I'm sorry, he wasn't on Embiid. No, he was not. That did not happen. The one time he used OG at the 5 was when Precious had to play 5 because Mitch was hurt. That's the only time Precious played in that series. In game 4 when Mitch was hurt. That's it. He did not play again. So in that matchup, he then switched OG and Precious and had them do all kinds of cool things. And then we never went back to it for the rest of the series, which is okay because what he chose to do worked. So that's fine. But he likes to have his 5 on the floor almost at any given time. And that can be Mitch, or it can be Hartenstein, or it could be Precious, but it has never really been Randall. And until I see that he trusts Randall at the 5, or however you want to phrase it, he trusts OG to play the 5 next to Randall, then I'm skeptical he's going to lean into that. Next tape. How much of a cope is trading for Marvin Bagley?
Whoa.
Okay. That's...
We have gone.
You might need to go back to Morocco, pal.
We have gone all the way down to hell with Marvin Bagley. What are the comments we have here?
This is from Judah Bencher. Can we stop with the Tibbs fellation until he does it? I don't believe it's happening. Here's of IQBS, no Randall the 5. I heard off the bench. Pressure the 4 makes me skeptical. I'm more optimistic about it because he's progressively like moved towards things that I did not think he would do, including the playing 5 out for like 2 minutes in game 5 against Philly out of his ass because they went so small. He actually matched up. I couldn't believe he did that. It's incredible. Makes me even more, it's still annoyed that we lost that game 5. But like, yeah, I think Randall at the 5, and this, I don't even know that this is wrong. I don't think it's wrong. Like, I don't know it's wrong is probably the better way to put it. I don't know that not trusting Randall at the 5 is wrong. But I do think if you told me that the Knicks don't make a substantial move at the 5 here, which maybe they don't, maybe they do, we'll see, that... Like he kind of has to play Randall at the 5, and if he doesn't, then I don't know. And I don't, he just doesn't have anything in his past that I am like, okay, I trust him to pivot to this because he kind of has to right now. I feel like he will want his 5, they will get him a 5, whether that be Huck Porty that they sign, whether it be, you know, fucking bring back Precious, whatever. He's going to have another 5 other than Precious or other than Mitch. And if Mitch is out, then you're like Precious and you're at Huck Porty. And like, I still think he would prefer that to going to Randall at the 5. And until I see him do otherwise, that will be kind of my default expectation.
How long before Knicks fans start clamoring for Karl-Anthony Towns at the center?
I'm sure that's already happening. I'm positive that's already happening.
Knicks fans are a funny bunch. Funny bunch. If you need a good laugh, just go on Knicks Twitter after a big move. You'll find the funniest shit ever. Oh, man. All right, so. Thoughts on Tobias Harris getting the bag again, guys?
I can't believe that. I honestly cannot believe that contract. I can't believe I'm never giving Detroit the benefit of the doubt.
I told you yesterday that Detroit was gonna do it.
I just didn't think they'd do it because I was like, it sounds so stupid, and like they got a new GM.
You're like, Troy Weaver's not there. It's like, nah, you can't take the stink out of Detroit, man. It's just enthralled in them.
I don't understand it at all. And I'm like, not even like I fit $26 million a year for him is, dude, I think he's making more than Brunson this year. I know it's like kind of a stupid way to look at it, but it's still not that stupid to me. Like, I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Man, the Pistons, man. What a model franchise.
No options.
Just straight 2 years?
Just straight bag. Straight drop.
Bruh, his agent, who I think is his pops, is legendary. This guy's almost at $300 million career earnings, by the way. Yo, Tobias Harris, yo, what a life, man. This guy can just suck at basketball and still get paid. That's incredible. This guy is, his generations are set up for ages. Doesn't matter that he's terrible at the sport.
What? EJ1, I'm very thankful that you're tuned in. What is this comment, my brother?
Oh, you've been ingratiated into the EJ1 comments.
Having to give up Durin because you had to get off that stupid Kemba deal is looking pretty rough right now.
Durin's sucked. Durin's been terrible. Like, he literally has been terrible. I don't know what else to say.
The rebounding numbers off of those Detroit bricks are making him look a lot better than what he actually is producing.
What are we doing here?
Oh, man. But yeah, staying on the Pistons, Tobias Harris, man. Wow.
That was a contract.
It definitely was a contract. What other deals happened over the night? Because I feel like a lot of stuff started petering in through the night.
Tyrese Maxey, big bag club.
Yeah.
Knew that was going to happen.
Who else got paid last night? Oh, Najee Marshall to the Mavericks. A lot of stuff happened after, of course, we got off stream. But yeah.
I don't know if I'd call Najee Marshall contract a lot of stuff.
I mean, compared to what we were getting while we were on stream yesterday, I mean,
it was not a great day. Not a great day. Was,
oh man, Paul George really had to hold up free agency just to sign with the most obvious thing.
Yeah, 4 years, 212. That's a lot of money, dude. He's gonna be 38.
Getting paid $57 million. I mean, their championship window's tight, man, because of the injury concerns of both of him and Joel Embiid.
It's like literally one season.
And it's like, I saw like today, I mean, in this new era, like big three is with not a lot of depth is not a really good way to go. I mean, we saw it with Phoenix that, you know, that shit matters, man. And like, if one of those two goes down for an extended period of time, especially leading into the playoffs, it's really rough.
Bro, I'm sorry. EJ1, I'm done reading your comments after this because this is so fucking stupid. I can't believe it. Could have had Durin, J. Will, or Mark Williams. Mark Williams, by the way, has been missed more time than like Mitch the last couple of years.
He has this a year, broken back.
Yeah, his back literally doesn't work. And I love Mark Williams, but I don't know how we can just assume that he would have mattered. Jalen Durin, we already covered this, has not been good. And Jalen Williams, like, yeah, I don't know what that would do for our center position, but I also don't know what we would have done without, you know, Jalen Brunson. And you want to play the game. It's easy to second guess. It's a lot harder to get from where we were to where we are now. And so if you don't think Leon's an amazing GM, that's fine. I don't need you to think he's an amazing GM. But if you don't think he's a good one or an above average one or in the top 10 in the NBA, then you're just wrong. I'm sorry. You're just wrong. Signing his godson is not good luck, actually. That's actually the fucking job. The job is use your connections, correct? The job was use your connections? He uses connections. He signed Jalen Brunson. He cleared the cap space to get him at the cost of your precious Jalen Durin, who, again, sucks so far in the NBA. And voila, the guy's been an amazing player for the Knicks. But yes, it is luck. All of this is luck, and we're all living in a construct. Actually, this is the Matrix. Don't believe any of
this. I have yet to see a comment of positivity from that one individual. Like, no matter what has happened, I've only seen just absolute negativity, and I don't know how you can live
this. And he's been like this. That. He actually, I mean, look, shout out to him. He comes here after a lot of post games and everything. And no matter what, he's consistent. You got to give EJ1 that. So shout out to EJ1. He's
very consistent.
Shout out to him. There's no denying that.
We won 50 games last year. We went to the second round for a second season in a row. What?
I almost got to the conference finals with half a roster.
You don't go from where the Knicks were to a championship team in 4 years, really. Like, it's very, very rare that a turn like that happens. So,
and the fact that they're this close, I mean, is a testament to what the lucky man who only signed his godson was able to do with this team.
Yeah. Tay212, you think the Hornets are going to smart Williams? I actually don't know if this is a serious question. I think it is. I would be interested. Maybe. Like, maybe. Maybe because he's...
If he can wear a spinal brace.
He's been hurt. We don't know what the situation is with his back. They have a new front office. They might not be attached to any of these guys.
Yeah.
They drafted a center too, right? They drafted Tijon Salon. I'm pretty sure he's a center, I think. I don't know.
Somebody he's a guard, actually.
No way. I know he's not a guard.
I think he is.
No. He's definitely not a guard. I talked about this with Prez, so I should probably know
position. Free agent center, Luka Garza, returning to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, yeah, he is a big. Well, he's like 6'9". He's like a wing-ish player.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they think he's a center. I don't know what they think of him. He's certainly
interesting.
Yeah, he's a person.
He's a power forward. Okay.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they would. I don't know. I have no – and again, like, you don't – I'm assuming here that they would want – like, if they're trading players, they want picks. They want capital. The Knicks do not have capital now to trade, really. I mean, they do have the Detroit protected first. They do have the Washington protected first. They have a bunch of seconds. They're not totally barren, but they do not have first-round picks. Maybe they would trade Mark Williams. I have no clue. It's possible. But I don't know that the Knicks have what they would want to trade Mark Williams.
Luka Garza is off the board, folks, for anyone that was wondering about him.
I was not wondering about Luka Garza.
But he's back with the Timberwolves.
Good for him. Very good for him.
Honestly, shame on us for getting rid of Evan Fournier. His salary would be perfect to swap out for a backup center right now. I just don't understand what Leon is doing. Honestly, it's ridiculous.
Just mismanagement by the lucky man. Lucky man Leon.
Yeah. All he has when is he going to speak to the fucking media? That's what I'm fucking. This is it. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm ready. Come speak to the fucking media. I want to hear about this.
Tell us what our backup plan for Hartenstein is, man.
Yes. And where is Ousmane Dieng? Where is he at? He's an OKC. First round pick.
He's an OKC.
Yeah, OKC. Yeah, he's there doing – he's going to be out of the league here pretty soon. So
yeah.
Shout out to him. Shout out to him. Hey, you got first round pick. I would love if they did that. Then I'd be like, I'm not lying. If the Knicks were like, we're just signing Nick Batum and that's our roster, I would be like, okay, so they're literally just being like, Tibbs, sorry. You're going to have to play small ball. I would love if they did that. I would love if they did that. But would they do that? I don't know. Look, I think that, again, I just think they deserve – I'm sorry. Like, you can be skeptical all you want, and I think it's fine to be skeptical. But when we go from that to, like
– extremism.
They haven't done anything. What's – how they're fucked. They're screwed. I'm sorry. I'm out. Like, I can't do that. And it's not because – this is not like Steve Mills and Scott Perry I'm asking you to, like, have faith in, okay? This is not like Phil Jackson that you need to bow down to or –
triangle.
Yeah, or fucking Glenn Grunwald or Scott Layden or Isaiah Thomas. These are like guys that have actually done a lot of good stuff in New York and helped turn things around and brought us up to a level where right now the thing that we're worried about is, can we compete for a championship? Not can we be good? Can we like not embarrass ourselves and poop our pants every time we step on the floor? That's really what we're worried about. And it's fair to worry about that, but like, let's have a little levity on where we were and how far we've come and that these guys have done that in X period of time. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Let's just sign Goga, man. And let's just find all the Orlando Magic clips we can of him from last year doing really good stuff and hope for some fun.
But now I also don't understand this comment from Chris Bernard. I understand Al Horford is a good player and it sucks to lose him, but holy hell, can we stop having World War III over this? This is a reaction pod to us losing Isaiah Hartenstein. I'm sorry. The last time Knicks fans thought this much over a player, it was RJ. I promise you, you couldn't be further from the truth.
Well, no, that's probably true, but I also think, like, at least, well, I can only speak for myself, but I was not fighting anybody over RJ after, like, halfway through last season. I don't mean, like, this past season that just occurred. I'm talking about the year before, where I was like,
oh, yeah. Hey. I was like, hey, maybe you guys are right. Maybe his ass.
Yeah, maybe this is not the space, but maybe this is just not the place for him. I was not arguing that too hard anymore.
We're one hour removed from the Knicks starting center on a 50-win team signing somewhere else. I'm a little upset. It happens. Especially when, you know, they did what they could and they're hindered by the rules and we made big swings that further hindered us. I think it's reasonable. We're not having World War III.
Correct. Yeah. There's no World War III happening here. All right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Any other comments here? Windhorst said that the Warriors and Spurs are after Markkanen. Good for the Warriors. I'm sure that they'll definitely get that done. Certainly not waste any more of Steph's end of prime career here.
Keldon Johnson, you are a Utah Jazz.
Who? Keldon Johnson?
Yeah. I'm saying if they trade for Markkanen.
Remember when Keldon Johnson was on the Olympic team?
Jeez.
Greg Popovich pull is something crazy, man.
Mm-hmm. He got Chris Paul $11 million.
ZMP323 says people still underrate the buff Randall has just from not playing with RJ anymore, and I'm not even an RJ hater. Yeah, I think it helps the spacing that he has now with, you know, Brunson, Bridges, Ananobi, DiVincenzo, etc. But the center thing is still an issue, especially with just seeing what we saw, the difference in play with him and Hartenstein versus him and Mitch. They're just things that, you know, can't ignore.
I think that's fair. I also think it's fair to say that we don't know what it's like without Randall, but with Mitch either. Like Randall and Mitch without RJ, we don't really have that sample. What we do know is that the sample with Randall and Mitch over their time together in New York has not been particularly great. They haven't been awful, but they haven't been dominant or anything as a front court pairing. So good luck to the Knicks on making that work. I hope that they can, because that seems like what we're headed for. But, you know, it's still the first day of free agency, technically. So we'll see.
Don't you guys just love when you're like trying to make a nice positive point and people come in your mentions trying to be negative?
Nope.
Yeah, I usually tend to mute. I tweeted one thing after Hartenstein didn't resign, and then I muted it after like 5 minutes. I was just like, all right.
Apparently, I posted something about Goga, and like people are like, I mean, there's like one person that's just like, Embiid would baby him. And I'm like, I mean, that's what you have Mitch for, you know, different centers, different looks. Not asking Goga to be the Embiid stopper.
Here's another shtick for me. Ace Bouchard, the four concerns I have are, number one, health of OG and Mitch. Number two, Hart's minutes in general. where is the concern with Hart's minutes? He's just going to play. He's going to play less because we have more bodies. I think that much has been solved. More importantly, DDB versus Hart minutes. Sure. I still think until we have a final product for the roster, it's harder to map things out. Thibs being willing to play Randall at the five. Yeah, we kind of talked about that. And backup center in general. Backup center is my number one concern.
Yeah, you can't go into the season with Sims slash Precious as your...
The Knicks signed OG Anunoby to do a huge deal. If I'm to trust them, I'm to trust that they trust him. So I'm not as concerned about that. Yes, but Mitch, his health ties directly into the backup center situation. So, again, I'm just not going to spend too much time overreacting over an unfinished product.
I mean, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about now, we can't, like, we don't know the ultimate answer to this. I do not think that you can, like, I don't know that we don't know what this roster will end up looking like. And I do feel pretty strongly that they, I mean, I just can't believe the only move they're going to make is re-sign Precious or, like, sign Goga, and that's that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely worried about OG and Mitch's health. More Mitch than OG. OG seems to pick up these weird fucking injuries that aren't necessarily, like, long-term, like, he's going to – this changes his career trajectory arc. But, like, Mitch just – this is the biggest problem with Mitch. It's not just that he gets hurt. It's that when he gets hurt and he comes back, he needs, like, 15 games to, like, ramp up. To get right. And it's just – it's so much. So even if you're like, oh, we're going to get 60 games of Mitch, I'm like, it's really like 45. Because he's going to be good. He's going to be really good to start the year. He's been really good. And, you know, like, he's going to be really good to start the year. Then he'll get hurt. Then, again, 15 games. Then he'll be good. And then it's like, you know, we'll see if he stays healthy for the whole playoffs. Not his fault. This year, look, I think you just have to give him credit for battling back and being on the floor for them when he could. I don't know if circumstances were perfect. Like, if Randall had come back, I don't think that Mitch would have came back. I think he would have maybe sat and taken that more time. He was not 100% when he came back, or even close to it, as far as I'm concerned. But, like, the year before against Miami, it's unfortunate. Like, a lot of injuries are just unfortunate for sure, and that's not just specific to Mitch, but, like, he's always kind of, there's always something going on with his ankle or his, you know, whatever, his foot, and it's, there's always something. So, yeah.
Yeah. Retro says here, Magic will give Goga more money, but their center rotation is packed. He should come here for a bigger role. Copium.
Yeah. I mean, I actually don't think this is that much of copium. I think it's like a fair thing.
It's an actual fair thing to...
It's a fair thing to bring up because you could point to Hartenstein and be like, well, look, if you come here, you're going to play. We're going to play. You're going to be our backup five. Mitch is probably going to die for like 20 games of the season.
And you'll be the starter. And then you'll probably end up being the starter for the rest of the year.
Yeah. And so, like, you have an opportunity to cash in. Now, obviously, this is not great because basically what you're offering is like, you can come play here for a year, and then you can go cash out for somebody else. Like, that's what you're offering, so you have to keep trying to, like, find a new center every year for the time being, which is not sustainable. But, like, if that's what they have to do for this year, then that's what they have to do for this year. And then you kind of have time or buy yourself time to figure out what or who you want to target as a long-term solution to your issue. But for now, yeah, I don't think that it gets – I'm not saying it's a slam dunk, and I'd understand if a guy like him was just like, fuck that, I'm going to take what I can right now from Orlando. But I don't think it's that crazy that he would be like, yeah, actually, that's a good point. I'll go there.
Yeah. So now we just wait. We just wait and see what the Knicks do, as we always do.
We'll see. I mean, look, we have no real reporting on what has happen then, or like we don't have any reporting on what the Knicks are, if they what their plans are right now, and we're not going to get it because our beat genuinely they don't necessarily provide us the most in time information as possible.
Yeah. Nick Tapes asking, is the taxpayer MLE the most we can offer Goga, like the $5-6 million range?
Yes. Correct.
He says also, if and when Mitch misses time, would Dibs ever start Julius at the five if we don't get a center better than Mitch?
Sorry.
No.
Man, he's gonna start
Sims. He'll start Sims like he always has.
Yeah, he was starting Jericho Sims, and that sucked. So not optimistic about that. I do think if things just stay as is, he will have to try Randall to five, but I don't know how consistently he'd do it. I don't know how many minutes he'd give it. It's just, again, yeah, it's what it is.
He says, I'm coping, but it's way more viable now that we have wing stoppers.
So this is something to consider. Well, this is what Fred Katz put out. Fred Katz said this move, however, did not catch the Knicks by surprise. Reported days ago that the organization was increasingly pessimistic about its chances to keeping Hartenstein, who had sensed would field offers far above New York's max offer. This was why. If they were not caught by surprise, then I don't think they were caught by surprise. I think they were just letting it play out because Hartenstein was by far and away their best option at the five. This is why I assume that they have things that they're working on, or at least things that they are confident they can get done. So, yeah.
Yeah. Neil Schmidt asks, could Goga get a deal like Valanciunas from another team?
He doesn't have Valanciunas' track record. Like, I know that sounds
a last crazy. Year was like his first real impactful year.
He also, and he didn't even play that much last year, actually.
He played like maybe like 20 to 30 games, I would say.
He played 62 games last year. He started 33. He only played 957 minutes total.
He didn't play
a lot. And he averaged 15. Like last year was the most minutes he's ever played per game in his career, 15.4. Like he has not played much. For his career, he's played 3,175 minutes total.
Perfect candidate to come into Thibs' workload.
Yeah, and actually, look, he didn't end up finishing that strong in terms of his on-off. He was actually a minus 1.9 last year. So I don't know. I think the Magic started doing weird stuff towards the end of the year, though, right? Because they were like starting Isaac at the five and shit.
They did a lot of weird things because there were points in the year where they were starting Markel Fultz. There were parts of the year where they were starting Anthony Black. The most impactful lineups for the Magic, at least I think defensively, included both Anthony Black and Goga Batazde. But then they just phased out Anthony Black and Goga both out of their rotation as they got closer to the playoffs.
Well, the offense was
The offense was really bad, but I mean the offense didn't really significantly improve nonetheless anyways.
Yes. Like
Gary Harris was still bricking threes in the corners, and like Jalen Suggs was hot and then cold and then hot and then cold. That's a big reason why they got KCP.
Yeah, and Carter Jr. is gonna be back, so like I think you can look, Hartenstein's not right. Hartenstein's gone, he's off the board.
Yeah,
so if you're Orlando, you're not trading Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah, you're keeping him now.
That's not happening. So if you're Goga and you're like, okay, where am I more likely to get more minutes? Because they're probably going to keep Isaac now. There's no point in not keeping Isaac at this point. And Isaac will get minutes.
And they're going to bring back Mo.
Yeah, they're going to bring up Mo. He gets more minutes than you at the five. And who knows? Like I could see them experimenting with all kinds of weird shit. They're like, Jet Howard was a first round pick for them. He didn't play at all last year. I could see him playing. And then them trying stuff like, you know, fucking Banchero at the five or whatever. Like, if I'm Goga, I would probably try to get the fuck out of there. I don't even think that's copium. That's like that doesn't need to be to the Knicks. But I would like try to get the. I would probably be looking to get out of.
He's good. Yeah, I would look to go to where I'm going to end up playing, getting more playing time, and the best possible. The best possible spot, in my opinion, not even as a Knicks fan, but it is the Knicks, because like, just with their center rotation as is, with the possibility of Mitchell Robinson getting hurt, which has happened in the last 2 years, and part of the reason why Hartenstein ended up getting a much bigger role than he probably anticipated. I mean, if you're Goga and you're looking at the Orlando Magic situation and the Knicks situation, and those are your two things that you're weighing, I don't see how you don't go to the Knicks at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of the more intriguing options out there. You're going to play a lot. You're going to be on a good team. And
he offers a lot of the same things that Hartenstein does. Not at the same level, I would say, but like, it's like stuff that you can develop on. The passing, the defense.
Yeah. And again, like, if you're just looking at it from a very, like, it's very likely that whatever contract he signs right now is not going to be super lucrative. Like, even if, let's say Orlando's offering him an $8 million deal and the Knicks are offering him the taxpayer mid-level. To me, then, like, yes, you might make $3 million more this year. But if these deals are short-term, be it 1 or 2 years, you are risking – you're not maximizing your earning potential by signing back with Orlando. Because Orlando's already shown you – again, like, you played well for them to start last year, and they've already shown you that, well, even if you do that, we're not necessarily going to, like, keep playing you because we have other guys that matter to us. And I mean, just look at their roster. You're very obviously not an organizational priority. Not saying you'd be an organizational priority for the Knicks, but guess what? If you are a big man and you can protect the rim, Tom Thibodeau will likely find you some minutes. He's going to find a way to play you some minutes. And I think bring him in. And again, like we already talked about the Mitchell Robinson piece, how he's hurt so often, that it gives you the opportunity to play minutes that not a lot of other teams would. And the team is good. Like, if you ever want evidence that being on a good team gets you paid, just look at, like, I mean, this is reality. It's just how the NBA has always worked. Hartenstein obviously benefiting from this on top of how well he played. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure, I mean, yes, I am biased, obviously, but if I were Goga, I would definitely be like, this is probably my best option.
Yeah. Connor Pearson Ward says the Valanciunas deal is still so baffling to me. Yeah, that was very interesting. It's interesting that a center of, I mean, the track record that he has, the years that he has in the league, that he didn't go somewhere more where geared towards winning, but I guess he wanted somewhere where he was going to get paid more, and I guess that was the option that was presented to him. That's the thing I can see it as.
Yeah, absolutely. This is from Coach SIR617.
I love his attitude.
Yeah, all right, Goga Bitadze is just as good as iHeart. If we get Goga, people will see how overrated iHeart was. Not that iHeart was a bum, but the system allowed him to look like that. I love the attitude. I will say, I do think that defensively, I do think iHeart was probably a little bit overrated, and that's probably where it stood out in the playoffs. Offensively, I don't think that. I think offensively, what he gave us in terms of like just his ability to be useful all around the floor, ball handling, passing, whatever, that stuff really mattered. And it was critical to kind of like how the Knicks developed over the course of last year. So, yeah, I think that's fair if you're talking about the defensive piece of it. Offensively, I disagree. I think he was really, really important. And I don't think Goga can give us that. But that's okay. Like, you're not going to find your perfect center solution right now. You need to go get a center that can just give you solid play and ensure that if Mitch goes down, you're not, like, you know, in hell. So I think Goga would at least do that.
I'm tweeting out some Goga propaganda right now.
Nice. Good job. Do the Lord's work.
I'm just looking up all his like best little attributes that are very similar to iHeart and just tweeting them out. But yeah, I think that's the perfect kind of, it's not going to be the perfect solution to iHeart, but the guy Goga, he's not old. He's a relatively guy that's sort of on the same timeline as most of our guys. You can still develop his skills both in the passing and defense. And yeah, I just think that's the ideal way to go with him.
Yeah.
Nora says Stibbs is the big man whisperer, unless you're Jericho Sims. Jericho Sims is Jericho Sims, man. I just don't know what to make of that guy. Do we think he plays in Summer League this year?
I hope Jericho Sims doesn't play anywhere I can watch him play. That's what I hope. I hope Jericho Sims is playing in like his fucking mom's backyard or something. Good.
Yeah, Jericho Sims is an enigma. God bless him for the money that he was able to get from the Knicks, but his time may be coming to an end.
Oh yeah.
Nick Tibbs says, I don't know about being overrated, but I think Tibbs can replicate at least 70% of what we got from iHeart with Goga. Yeah, for sure. There are like workable traits and things to work on there with him.
Is it? I'll have to ask Jeremy if they can get Goga and bring back Precious.
Precious? That'd be a very interesting scenario. Eric Rogers said iHeart was an incredible hub offensively. It also forced a lot of off-ball movement playing through him. Yeah, that was the big draw of like at least keeping him and bringing in Macau. Like your offense would be like that much more improved, especially bringing back Randall as well. It just would probably be a supercharged version of what we saw in January. Of course, you're bringing Dante and Hart and Deuce and Mitch off the bench. It was just like very perfect situation that was brewing right there. But here's to hoping Goga comes and we can kind of replicate that offensive hub at a lower percentage. But yeah.
Yes. Correct.
Eric Rogers, Jericho Sims needs to get the fuck out of my face, though.
Dude, I can't do the Jericho Sims thing. I can't believe they guaranteed his contract. He must be like the greatest. He must be the greatest practice player of all time, and he must honestly never complain. He must never complain about anything. I mean, he shouldn't, because he can't complain because he's terrible. He's so bad. He can't be like.
He was so bad. He was bad in the dunk contest. Like, yo.
Dude, the funniest thing was we played him in that game three against Indiana because Tibbs started Precious at the four, and then like and then we never saw him again. Like we didn't see him until like garbage time of game five against the Pacers or game four or game, yeah, like just garbage time of those series. It's just so funny.
Thank God we didn't see him anymore. It was just like, bruh. Next tape asks, do we know if Goga is good in the short role? That's the thing I think we'll miss the most from iHeart. Well, I'm retweeting and tweeting out a bunch of Goga stuff right now, so I haven't looked through all of it, but I've seen some nice passes on the short role.
So. I mean, his numbers, I don't know the exact. I don't have a strong read on Goga's film or anything like that, but if you look at his like passing numbers, they're not awful. Like he was at what, so if you look per 100 possessions, he was a 4.1 this year to 2.3. I think Hartenstein was something like 5.0 to 3. I can check because I have the internet and we're allowed to do cool things quickly. but not me because I'm an idiot. so I'll check this out. Here we go. By the way, Isaiah Hartenstein, you're never invited on Pod Strickland ever again, asshole. Fuck you. You burned bridges here, pal. So Gogo was 4.1 assists per 100 possessions to 2.3. Hartenstein was 5.0 to 2.5. So better passer, but Hartenstein's a better passer, but Gogo gives you something there. And it's worth noting Gogo played with like way worse spacing.
Horrible
way worse spacing. Horrible spacing.
Played with Anthony Black, Paolo Banchero, and Franz Wagner in a starting lineup. Yeah. Like
those passing reads are probably more.
They open up way much more with this Knicks lineup, and like there are some interesting things you can still do with the Jalen Brunson center pick and roll stuff.
Yeah, he had a 13.3 offensive rebound rate with the Magic. Hartenstein was at 14.4, 17.5 total rebound. You know what? Fuck this. Since we did this yesterday, I'm just gonna,
yeah, you can share the screen.
Yeah, I can just do that. That's what we're going to do here. All right. Look at that. Moving into the 21st century over here. And then I'm going to even zoom in.
Ah, there we go.
Here we go. But yeah, I always use the per 100 possessions because it's the most kind of regulated for the rate, but you know, not as efficient as Hartenstein. He also took more threes. He was bad at them. So I'm pretty sure if he came here, Tibbs would be like, no threes. None.
Just like he did with Hartenstein.
Yeah, no threes.
Those corner attempts.
Yeah, no more. You're done. From two-point range, he was at 63.6. Hartenstein was at 64.6%. So pretty close there across the board. The true shooting numbers, again, I would feel pretty confident that if you got rid of the three-point attempts,
yeah,
he'd be pretty close to Hartenstein. He's at 63 last year. Hartenstein was at 67, which feels kind of crazy because I always feel like Hartenstein missed some of the dumbest shots ever. And you're like, dude, can you just go up strong? You're like 7 feet. Why are you fucking crouching like a hunchback? He had, you know, a 60.7 EFG. Hartenstein was a 64.5. Again, the three-point thing hurts there. The free throw percentage is not great. 65.5. Isaiah Hartenstein, 70.7. Both guys are like Steph Curry compared to Mitch, though. So you take that. I mean, 65.5 for a center is not atrocious. You can kind of live with that. So we'll see. Hopefully the Knicks get this Goga thing done. That'd be great.
Yeah. Eric Rogers says, are we sure Jericho Sims even speaks? I think the only times I've ever heard him talk was after like the dunk contest, and the reporters asked him about like his dunks and shit. But yeah. Jonas Ben Khalifa says also about the Jericho Sims things. They only picked up his option. His deal is still non-guaranteed, but I agree he can't see the floor this year. Jonas Ben Khalifa also asked, how much do we think Goga will get?
Well, I don't. The Begley report was so odd because I don't know what. And I get it. He probably doesn't know the specifics or can't say the specifics right now either. But like, he said that he thinks Goga has a bigger offer on the table from Orlando, which might be true. But in what capacity? Does it mean that they're paying him more for 1 year? They're giving him a 2 year deal? Like, I don't know those specifics. I don't know what the difference is in the range. Obviously, the Knicks cannot offer him more than a non-taxpayer mid-level exception. What the Knicks can offer him is a better path to playing time, consistent playing time, and the ability to market yourself and earn yourself a nice payday that I don't think he will get in Orlando because of their general logjam in the front court and other centers. So I don't know. I don't know how much Goga will get. Based on this market, you could tell me anything between 5 to 10 million a year, and I'd believe you.
Yeah, but like, money is just going around crazy.
But aside from us in Orlando, I'm not sure what team is like, we need Goga right now. I don't know. Center market's just weird.
Very weird.
Jonas McLeufe says, if I did the math correctly, I think the Knicks can use around 7 million of the non-tax MLE. They could. That just means they're hard capped at the first million. I don't know. I leave that shit up to Jeremy to tell me, because I'm not going to do it myself anymore.
It's too much.
Yeah, back
too
in the day.
Too much brain power.
You see it back in the day. Now that this new salary cap, I'm like, I'm off that. But yeah, I think there's a pathway to doing that. I'm not sure that they. I don't know how the, all the they have to fit in X amount of players, and I think it's 14. It might be 12. I don't remember that. I think it might be 14. They have to carry at least 14 guys, and I think they could squeeze that in, but I don't know exactly what it is.
Oh, Neil asks a good question. Could the Clippers offer more for Goga?
No, they just signed Derek Jones Jr. to $30 million.
Yeah. Although I did see some Clippers fans clamoring for him, so there, I guess there was some sort of at least intrigue with their fans for Goga. Front page Jeff says Goga and his agent could look at Ihart and his new contract as a prime example of what you just described.
Yeah, absolutely. That's 100%. I mean, they could even look like a guy like they could even look at a guy like Nerlens Noel, who we re-signed, obviously, but he played himself into a bigger money contract because of his play his first year in New York. You know, that's another guy. And look, you can look at this is not just here, by the way, Tibbs. You go look at him. Over his time, Omer Asik, that guy got fucking paid because of the you know how well he played for Tibbs in Chicago, and then he went to Houston. They all fucking hated him. But like if you're a center who is let's put it this way, if you're a center who has a very like limited offensive skill set, but is big and can protect the rim and rebounds, Tom Thibodeau is a great coach for you. He is a great coach for you.
And if you can pass, little icing on top.
Yeah, you got to earn that one though. Go. You need to. I don't know. Tibbs is just gonna let him let him. He's not gonna just gonna let him rip, let it rip. Initially,
show Tibbs my tweets, and then we'll make it happen.
We will see. But yeah. So. All right. I think we've probably talked all this to the ground right now. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know that we will. We will not know for a while, but maybe we will. I don't know when we're gonna know. We'll know when we know. But I'll promise you this: if we sign Goga Batadze, I don't think I'll be doing an emergency pod reaction.
Yeah, there's no need for that. We'll just see our takes on the timeline.
Yeah, we'll do that. So, yeah. All right. Thanks for everybody that rocked out with us in here. Appreciate you guys joining us. Thanks for the comments, even you. EJ1, your commitment is appreciated. And shout out to everybody else. Next tape, Jonas Ben Khalifa, Tape 12, Front Page Jeff, Retro, everybody else I didn't name. Appreciate your support. That's it for us today. I don't know when me and Stacey are going to record. I think we might, I'll probably try to figure something out with him on Tuesday, either tomorrow or the day after, just because I want to see how things play out a little bit more in free agency. And then we'll get a pot out for you. But until then, peace and let's go. Nick sign Goga Batadze. Fuck you, Isaiah Hartenstein. Fuck you, Sam Presti. Fuck you. All right, Sam. Anything? Any last words before we get out of here?
Nope. Just hoping we go get Goga. Hashtag go get Goga.
There we go. Make it trend, guys. All right. Peace.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.